Amen. Amen. Okay, so I don't know why Pastor Freddie did that today. Every song that he chose got me messed up over here. Praise God. Praise God in the highest. Amen. So I'm new to this as far as how this all works. So you guys are gonna bear with me just a little bit this morning and try to share my screen. Think that should be right. Amen. All right, here we go. Blessings, everyone. Hope you all can hear me okay. We're here this morning just giving God honor and glory and praise. It's a wonderful new day. Amen. Last week, actually during the conversation with Pastor Freddie, he brought up a phrase, which I've heard it before, but it stood out in its level of relevance to our lives today. And so I wanted to talk about it this morning. Amen. It's something that God does with us, but it's also something that he expects us to mirror. He wants us to do it too. So thank you, Pastor Freddie, for allowing this platform today. Amen. I give God the glory and honor and praise for how awesome he is, for how he works through you, for all the staff at the church and everything, and everybody who comes by faithfully and is always committed to praying for the members of the church, for those who we come in contact with. It's a blessing to be surrounded by you all. Amen. Our scripture text today is one example of how God, in his infinite wisdom, has an answer for everything, how his solutions make so much more sense than our feeble analyses. God is nothing short of amazing. Travel with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, where we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Amen. I don't know how people do this online. If you go to Bible Gateway and look at your scriptures there, or if you still do it the old-fashioned way and pull up the actual Bible. Amen. But we're going to Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Version. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, it's in your name that we come, Lord, in your name that we are here, that we exist, Lord God. We to come. God, I pray right now that you will break open the bread of life on today, oh God. I pray right now that I will decree that you have to disseminate to your people on today, Father God. We pray for blessings. We pray for exposition, Father God. We pray for receipt, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God, the embracing of your word today. God, we pray in Jesus' mighty name that you will go forward, hallelujah, in might and in power, Lord God. We thank you in the name of Jesus, and we praise your holy and righteous name. Purge us with hyssop and wash us that we'll be whiter than snow for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you. Amen. And God. Today, we're watching this story unfold as God extends an invitation. He gives good reasons why it just makes sense that all who hear should also accept. Lead with love. That's our title today. So let's look at how does God lead with love? So to do that, I want to think about some of the ways that we evaluate new information and situations, okay? Personally, I think I'm like a lot of people when I'm trying to evaluate an offer or the origin of an offer. I pull out my PS detector to determine how valid the offer really is. Now, PS just stands for phony story, because basically I want to know how much lies in your truth. And that's something I ask in every situation. So one of the biggest lies that we are told is something that's implied, not necessarily said by word, but it's the premise that there's nothing in it for the person who's making the offer. I'm doing this for you. Knowing good and well that they're doing it for what they get out of it, but not, and it's not just something to help you. But look at what God says. He said, hey, y'all thirsty? Come on over here, drink. You ain't even got to have no money. Now we know God doesn't get anything out of us coming to him to drink. So he passed my first test. Amen. Then God said the magic word, y'all. He said free. Whoa, he really got my attention now. And he's offering the best of the best. So right now we got water, we got milk, we got wine. What else could you need? I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get a little thirsty, getting a little thirsty over here. But that's not all. God brings up a good point. He says, you are spending money on bread that doesn't even give you sustenance. It doesn't strengthen you. You take it in, or in Isaiah's case, you just inhale it, because I don't think he even chews anymore. But you eat it. You eat this bread, and you still feel hungry. You don't get full. In fact, truth be told, you're empty. Now, somebody might be able to relate to that today, because we have a lot of people now that are feeling empty. How many of you know somebody that might be maybe a little bit tired? They've confessed to you that they feel weak. They told you that they're weary, that they don't know how much more that they can handle. How can they bear all the different things that are going on today in this pandemic society? The word is showing us how God is leading with love. And God wants you to lead with that same love as well. Now, to do that, amen, you have to first find out who is hungry and who's thirsty. Amen. Point one, find out who is hungry and who is thirsty. And don't be casual about it. Be intentional. Be intentional. Have this in your heart that there's going to be an outcome, hallelujah, from what it is that you do for God. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Well, that's, I guess, you know what, if you think about tiredness, causes thirst. Weariness causes thirst, and empty calories, they cause malnourishment. But God has an answer for that, right? Because water, which is what he's offering, is refreshing. It's cleansing. Water is designed to quench your thirst. Wine and milk are more than just thirst quenchers, but they're symbols. Wine and milk symbolize complete and total satisfaction. See, back in the old days, they didn't use wine just as something that, you know, changed their position, you know, by drinking it. They used wine as something that was cleansing for the water. They used it as something to go with the water so that it could cleanse out some of the impurities. So he's not just quenching a thirst, but he's doing so much more than that. He's also giving you something that is pertinent, something that is cleansing to you. Amen. More and more that scripture comes back to mind that I relate to so well, which when Jesus spoke to that woman at the well in John 4, 13 and 14, and he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. And I don't know if I mentioned it, y'all, but it's free. You don't even have to pay for it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That price has already been paid. I need my younger people to know today that we're not talking about actual bread and water and wine, okay? But the thirst and the hunger is real. And it's for more than just a physical food and water. That's what we're talking about today.
Hallelujah.
Now more than ever in my lifetime, there are so many people that are actually in the church that are spiritually dying of thirst.
Mercy, Lord.
I know
Jesus.
It's people outside the church, and we still need to pray them in and let them know that God can fill them. He can quench their thirst. But I'm telling you, it's people in the church. They're weary. They're worn down. They're hopeless. They're angry. They're tired out. Tired, child, just tired. And God's answer in this passage of scripture is more relevant than ever to all of us. This right here, this is what we need. So I'm challenging you today. I'm challenging you to do a few things. The first thing is find out who's hungry. Find out who's thirsty. If you got to be like Santa Claus and make a list and check it twice, you definitely need to be intentional, because this is a serious thing. Somebody is counting on you. Somebody at this time is at the end of their rope, and they don't know what else they can hold on to. See, in this pandemic-driven society, I really don't think it's going to be that difficult. It's not going to be hard to find somebody who is struggling. It's not going to be hard to find somebody who is frustrated. It's not going to be so hard to find somebody who's holding on, not just by a thread, but by the last thread.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It's not going to be that hard to find somebody who's willing to try something new and different, because everything that they've been doing is not working.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord.
People who realize now that they don't have all the answers. Luke 10 and 2 says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. So I'm calling you out today. I'm calling you out, Destiny. I'm calling you out, ministers. I'm calling you out, deacons. I'm calling you out, lay people. I'm calling you out, children. Be a thirst finder. To be a hunger identifier. God has been leading you. So now God has been showing his love to you, and it's time for you to share that love with somebody else. Because they need it just as desperately as you did when you either didn't have it or you didn't realize and acknowledge the fact that you had it. So I'm calling you out today. And now once you've identified who's hungry and you've identified who's thirsty, it's time to go to step number two. Whet their appetite. I need you to show them that menu. God's instructions and the finest foods that he has for them and the recipe. Amen. It's amazing how different people are when they have a recipe. People get bold. They're willing to try. You witness a transformation. I remember when Isaiah had a school assignment, he had to prepare his meal and narrate the preparation. So like how they do, you know, on these cooking shows and things like that. And I didn't want to be extravagant. So, you know, this first meal. So I bought some Hamburger Helper. Okay. We followed the directions on the box. Amen. And he stirred the meat as it was browning, and he adjusted the level of the heat, poured the stuff in and stirred it again. So then he took it down to a simmer, put the top on. He did a really good job. And you know, before you know it, voila, we had an edible meal. So, of course, his confidence level soared, and Isaiah is now the self-identified chef of this house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's what that'll do for you. Give you some confidence when you got a recipe and you can follow some directions, and it comes out the way that you anticipated that it would come out. That's going to boost your confidence. Amen. Amen. And in verse 2 and 3, God has some directions for us. He says a couple of times, listen, listen to me. I'm going to tell you what to do. The New Living Translation reads, listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Someone God brought to my mind who was thirsty, who was hungry. That's how Les Brown says, so you got to be hungry. Zacchaeus. He was somebody who wanted to stay on the sidelines. See, Zacchaeus, he deemed himself as being unworthy. In his heart, he wanted to follow Christ, but he knew what his lifestyle was like and what he had done and what his reputation was. And he figured, well, the people weren't going to receive him. And certainly a holy Christ would not receive him. And some of you all may have heard this story. Zacchaeus was a short man. So needless to say, when Jesus came to town, he wanted to see. So he climbed a tree to change his vantage point. So now he can look from a different perspective. A lot of people today, they're trying to change their vantage point because they need to be able to look at things from a different perspective, because the perspective that they've had thus far, it ain't working for them. Amen. And they can only get so far. They can only do so much. They need a laborer. They need you. They need you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Because you have the recipe. They need you because you have the instructions. They need you because you are somebody who is connected and who can lead them to the feast of a lifetime. Zacchaeus heard the words of Christ to come down out that tree, because the rabbi, the teacher, the savior, the healer, the redeemer was going to dine at his house that day. Would you say that Jesus led with love?
Amen.
Because that looks like love.
Well,
that looks like leading with love to me. Amen.
Amen.
So we have examples. Now it's our turn that we become examples. Mm-hmm. We whet their appetite. We show them what the recipe is. Now it's time to move on to the next thing. I'm going to go to point number 3. And I'm actually almost done. Amen. Hold on and watch God work. Speak life while you do it. His promises will come to pass. Amen. You know, sometimes when a person is malnourished or dehydrated, they're too weak and too fragile to feed themselves. The body can't handle it. They are exhausted. If they were in the hospital, the doctor will order an IV. And in the same manner, we have to spiritually order an IV for the people that we are helping. We have to connect them to the source of nourishment that they need. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 tells us to come with ears wide open.
Wide open.
To listen,
Lord.
And you mm-hmm. will find life. I don't know how you take that, but when I read it, I read it that for the believer, I hear the word revival. Amen. Mm. I hear the word revival. And for the sinner, I hear the word salvation. And in the spirit, I see God's word coming to pass. God says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Guess who said that in John 6:35? I see revival. I see things changing around. I see circumstances moving from what they were to what they are supposed to be. I see salvation. I see somebody saying, you know, I can't handle this by myself, but I thank you for stepping into my life to show me something that I was otherwise not able to see. I told y'all a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school that one thing that my grandmother did for me was that she loved me. She loved me to life. She loved me in spite of my unrighteousness. She loved me in spite of what my difficulties were. She loved me in spite of the fact that I had some challenges that I hadn't worked through. She loved me in spite of the fact that I couldn't get over my daddy not being in the picture. She loved me. It didn't make a difference what I did. She loved me. I could bring anything to her because she loved me. She wouldn't treat me different because she loved me. Amen. And that's what we need to do today. We need to lead with love.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Glory to your name, God.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 55:3-7 tells us that we'll get the promises that God made to David. We'll command nations that we don't even know. Nations will run to us. Wicked men will give up their wickedness, and unrighteous men will change their thoughts. And God will have an abundance of forgiveness for people just like Zacchaeus, for people just like you, for people just like me, for people who are on your job, for people in your household, for people in your community, for people in our church, hallelujah, for people in the government, for people who are all over the world, mm-hmm. for people who are in high places, and for people who are in low places. God has a forgiveness for each and every one of us. It doesn't make a difference how great our sins might be. God has a forgiveness. If he can forgive you, then he can forgive the person next to you. If he can forgive me, then he can forgive the person who's around the other side of the world. God has a forgiveness, hallelujah, because he leads us with love. Hallelujah. The word tells us that with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I have kept you close to me. God won't give up on us. You know why? Because he loves us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lead with love. That's what we have to do. We have to do that. It's not even an option in this season. It's not something that we can contemplate and try to figure out. It's something that you just need to act on and pray for God's direction as you walk in the confidence knowing that he is with you and that he will direct you. In Jesus' name, I can't focus on the things that moth corrupts and that the cankerworm eats and wears away. Well, but God tells me that is not the most important thing. You got to build your hopes on things
eternal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Situations that will have an everlasting impact. You got to be in places where there's going to be a life-changing effect from the ministry. Yes, we're all called to ministry, whether that's your title or not. And once my time is gone, once I've done what I was called to do, I can't get that time back. Anybody study economy and stock markets and the system of how we ascertain value for things, people will always tell you that precious metals are a safe investment. Precious metals are always considered valuable, but I'm of the opinion that there is something else which is much more valuable and much more precious. This is something that if you don't invest it wisely, you will lose it, and that's our time. Now, I know people get concerned about their health too, but usually that becomes a grave concern only when it's about to cut their time short. That's so important that if everything that we do, we lead with love.
Amen.
That don't just mean how we conduct ourselves as leaders, but I mean that in everything, love is first. Love should be my primary motivation. Love should be what gets me going. Love should be what keeps me in the game. Love should be what allows me not to give up on somebody who everybody else
Well, Jesus.
Love Jesus. Should be what I feel that I owe because God gave so much love to me. I can never give back what God gave to me. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I can't repay you that. A couple of nights ago, I watched this film. And I know it's an old film with Denzel Washington. I think it was called Pelham 123. And it was about a guy who hijacked a subway train in New York City. And one of the things that he kept saying, we all owe God a death. Each and every one of us owe God a death. This was the villain who kept saying that. And at the end of the movie, when he and Denzel Washington came face to face, and Denzel Washington had an opportunity to respond to him saying that, he said, no, we don't all owe God a death, but we do all owe him a life.
Amen.
We owe God a life because he gave a life for each and every one of us. And so we owe him a life. We can't give him our life back by dying, but we can give him our life back by living and by pulling somebody else along so that they can give their life back. And they will pull somebody else along so that person can give their life back. Do you see how it's supposed to go? Amen. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In a time when the average person said that only about 25% of their Facebook friends were genuine. We need to lead with love.
Jesus, Jesus.
In a time when we have 322 million people worldwide that suffer from depression, we need to lead with love.
Mm-hmm.
In a time when it's about 800,000 people that die as a result of suicide worldwide every year, or we need to lead with love.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In a pandemic, when people are afraid, when relatives are going home to meet their master alone, knowing that they're on the way out, but they can't even say goodbye to their family, we need to lead with love.
Yes, yes, yes.
God did it for humanity. Somebody did it for you. Now it's up to you to do the same thing for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm encouraging you today. I'm imploring
you today.
I am challenging you today, and I'm calling you out on the carpet today that if you ain't doing nothing else in this time, if you're not spending any of your time during this pandemic leading with love and trying to help somebody else, you are missing it.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
Hold on and watch God work and speak life. Let the people of God know that you love them, but let them know that God loves them with an everlasting love.
Everlasting
with
love.
And kindness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Near, and he doesn't just draw you near one time and then go away and have you fend for yourself and try to figure it out, but he keeps on drawing you. Every time you try to get away, he keeps on drawing you. Every time you mess up, he keeps on drawing you. Every time you become uncertain, he keeps on drawing you.
Yes,
every time you count down and feel, he keeps on drawing you.
He's
not gonna stop. He's not gonna turn his back on you. He said that he would never leave you nor forsake you, but that he will be with you until the end of the age. And that's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. Speak life and know that his words are living and that they have power. And the same way that people can speak negative over these kids, we can speak positive over them and speak the words of life of God, that their lives could change and they could be rearranged and that they can have newness that you can only experience, hallelujah, when you give your heart to the one true King. Thank you, God. Before we end, I'm at the end of my message, but there is a song that I really want to share with you all today. It's a song about love.